Esther, why don't you take a seat so you can not wear yourself out? Continue praying by all means. We really appreciate your prayers at White Horse. Those 3 days were just a beautiful, immediate manifestation of God's power and hunger there. And so it was very easy to transition into deeper moves of God's Spirit. Like as far as numbers go, at least 4 received the Holy Ghost. And it was awesome because Megan and I didn't pray any of those through to the Holy Ghost. It was the church doing it. And it was just a wonderful thing. So we had long, long moments of prayer that first night at least. I estimated like 90-95% of the entire church was crying and praying in the Holy Ghost, which is pretty magnificent. That second night, there was a backslider there that had come. I didn't know who it was at first. Brother Yaden had started the service off by talking about how you could come here addicted and you could leave no longer addicted. And so while he was talking, I whipped up 3 chairs in the front. And so then when he gave me the microphone, I opened it up. I told him about my twin brother calling me on the telephone and me being delivered from alcoholism, real bad alcoholism in a moment. And I said that was available to whoever needed it. And so no one came up. So I was like, you know, I knew I was in the Holy Ghost. And I knew it was going to happen. So I just said, I'm leaving that open. I'm just going to continue. So about a quarter of the way through talking about prayer, things like that, and I was really starting to establish authority. The authority we have as children of God, sons of God, and the angelic hosts that we have that come to help us. So I told him I didn't come. Megan and I didn't come alone. I said we came with. I said there's people right now from Sterling praying for you guys, praying for this service. So I have that, and I know for a fact I have angelic assistance. I started to establish that. And so his name was James. Brother Yaden had been working with him. And so Brother James comes up, sits down, and I ignored him. And I just kept talking. And so pretty soon the 3 chairs were filled. Now, and I began to switch, and I started to talk about what we call the prodigal son and the 11th hour worker and how our lost sons that are coming home, lost daughters are going to be the will of God for them to become 11th hour workers, which means be promoted, begin to start growing immediately. And so I began to use James as the example. And God was giving me revelation as I was going. And so as I was speaking, I was talking about the robe and I was talking about the ring and the shoes that were put on the son's feet. And I realized that God has put that for us to do. It's our job to empower them and give them authority back and help push them in the direction, give them what they need to be able to walk from right there to doing a work for God. It was a great thing, and I went a while, and I said a bunch of other stuff. And he began crying and praying, and so he quickly began to pray in the Holy Ghost, which was an awesome thing. And that altar call, it went like an hour or so. I think we got done at 10. But in that altar call, he prayed through, and we're directing other people, and other people are getting victory. And then I went over to him, and I said, now, God, he had that moment where you're getting accepted by the Father. It's a real special thing that we don't need to hurry. When we have backsliders come in, there's that moment after they're praying in the Holy Ghost where all of a sudden they're realizing that they're back with Daddy, and he's grabbed him up, and it's that moment of like acceptance back. So I was telling the church about it, and that was a beautiful thing. God was letting me know what was fixing to happen before it happened, and then I was able to tell the church what was happening as it was happening and then direct him into the next step. And so I taught him about, or I was telling the church about that moment, and then I said, now you're fixing to step into victory. I want you to step into it with boldness. And so he started to really get victorious, and he started, you know, dancing. Everyone was shouting with him. Things went on. I'm not sure how long those periods would be. He stayed praying the entire time. And so that finished. We're talking about victory. And I started to talk again about authority, dominion over the devil, how we walk in dominion, how God wants us to walk in dominion. And you can't walk in dominion with your, you know, your shoulders slumped, or with, you know, I'm just so humble. I just can't. I don't know how God could use me. Got to walk in dominion. We got to be able to allow each other to walk in that confidence and boldness that comes in the fivefold ministry and working in those offices, plus working in your own anointing. It's not you, it's God. But you can't be a wimp and do it. The devil will laugh at you. That's what I was saying. And so I started to feel like he was fixing to step into warfare tongues. I talked about that. Talked about how violent it was and how you get like anger and righteous indignation flowing through you. So he's standing there and I just started to egg him on, you know, and I started to hit him, hit his knuckles. And he, Brother Yade, was looking at me like, what in the world are you doing? And he stepped into that powerful, like, warfare tongues. He just, he starts talking in tongues. Brother Wagner was over by Megan, about that far away from, or closer, I guess, to James. No sooner did he start than Brother Wagner just whips out into warfare tongues. And so I went over there and I put the mic in his face, you know, and he was just going for it. Then he stops and he goes back into the where the chairs are and grabs this older gentleman and brings him up to the front, you know, whether you want to or not, coming up. Puts him right by James, who's still going for it. And so that guy's kind of like all awkward, you know, and Brother Wagner puts his arms up. He says, start praying. So he's like, and someone else started to come pray for him. And Brother Wagner just kind of standing there. And I went up to him and I said, just start praying in the Holy Ghost. And he literally was like this. He goes, oh, just start praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, like frustration. I didn't know turns out he was a longtime seeker. And so, you know, it was that kind of frustration. Oh, it's just that easy. Yeah, just pray in the Holy Ghost. So he no sooner said that than Brother Wagner touched his side and busted into warfare tongues again. And he busted into warfare tongues. And that dude put his head back and started praying in the Holy Ghost just like that. It was so powerful. So, of course, the people are calling it a miracle that he received the Holy Ghost. He's one of those types. So that was such an awesome experience. And then, of course, you're able to coach then. You're able to say, you know, that breaking strongholds like down, like right now. Like right now broke that guy through whatever barrier was keeping him from praying in the Holy Ghost. Because I felt that frustration, you know. It was sarcastic, of course, coming back at me. But it wasn't, it was in that, like, I want to, you know. I just can't. So we celebrated that, and it was just a high moment. Everyone was really happy, and so then all of a sudden I just felt like God wanted to confirm it. I said, in fact, I think God wants to confirm it. And James started to cry. I said, go ahead, James. So this guy's a backslider. He just prayed through, got into victory, into warfare tongues, and he jumped into the gift of utterance and diverse tongues. And he gave the tongues. So I'm sitting there. I was just sitting like right here. This is awesome to me because this year, 2018, Anthony Mangan, pastor there, Pentecostal of Alexandria, for the very first time did tongues interpretation. His entire life he had never done it. His mom's very, and his dad were very gifted. And it always happens in his church. Happens quite a bit when he preaches, but he was never used in it. And he had prayed and prayed for it. In 2018 is when he kicked into that dimension of doing tongues interpretation and even giving, like, just direct prophetic words. And so I had the microphone. James just does the tongues. And I looked over at Brother Yade, and I handed him the mic, and I said, you got it? And he looked at me. So it's such a wonderful thing. And he said, yeah, I think I do. He goes, but I've never done this before. I said, you got it. He just grabbed that and gave the most powerful interpretation. I forget the very first part of it, but it was something about the spiritual authority that he put in our hands. And he said, I have given you dominion. Not I'm going to. He said, I have given you dominion. Now you take what I place in your hands and you go take the city. How awesome is that? Incredibly powerful word. The pastor doing the tongues interpretation, just like Anthony Mangan, and I'm sure other pastors that are stepping into it in this hour, into that supernatural dimension of the gift of utterance. I'm sure he's been used in all the other gifts, but those, you know, the gift of utterance he hadn't yet. So you have, and then you have this God showing everybody right in front of us how quickly he wants to restore people. And it's just up to us to empower them to do that and to believe they can do it. All he needed was a little pushing in each one of those stages, and he did it. And that was amazing, amazing and beautiful. And so I'm very thankful for your praise. I'm very thankful for God's moving and the touch of his hand. Sunday we had new people there, and it went a little bit different direction. And we had some moments there were a little awkward with someone was convicted or being charged with something was there, and a relative of the person he was being charged with doing something to was there. And so Megan really began to minister to the woman, and then that man who's being charged with something received the Holy Ghost. And it was, even though it was awkward, God still moved in his life, and it's just the working of his hand. There's some things there's not much we can do as far as, you know, can't expect immediate forgiveness. But that was, when I found out about that, it kind of became dramatic a little bit. But then there was still a great altar call, great moving of his spirit. That's just, I believe it's just God's agenda right now for everybody. There's just this there's this moving, and it's just available to us. And sometimes I think we'll work too hard for it. We'll try to push. Sometimes we're pushing hard. Have you guys noticed that? Have you guys noticed lately, like, the church has grown quite a bit? Brother Armstrong, have you been baptized yet? Yeah? Okay. The church has grown quite a bit in worship and how we and how we respond, and then even praying for each other. But it's, I don't know, last few months it's been, seems like we just kind of hit, we get there for sure. We have great services, but there's a little bit of a wall there now, or a little bit of a barrier I think we've reached. And some barriers we can't just bust through. We can't push through no matter how hard we want to. And it's flows and it's moving of God's Spirit like it's going right now, where we just got to allow God to dictate how fast it goes. As we flow and flow in the current of his Spirit, then that's when we're going to get these deep moves. We're going to move beyond those barriers that we're reaching right now, whatever they are in the Spirit. But we don't necessarily have to bust through. We can't shout it. Sometimes we aren't going to be able to shout it down. We just got to slow down. Open our spirits and slow down and tarry, and then allow the flow and the moving of God's Spirit, the ebb and flow of his Spirit. And in doing that, he's giving us peace, and we're not using a whole lot of strength, physical strength, which is a very important thing, because we know that spiritual warfare is very physical. Intercessory prayer, which we haven't really begun to do yet in this church, is very physical. And so these kinds of moves, we need to go ahead and stop, just see what God wants to do as he strengthens us and also moves deep. Even though we, you know, in our mindset, we're thinking we have to punch through something or we have to make it happen. Let's just let God do it. Let's just be sensitive to what he wants to do right now. I mean, it's a pretty gentle, it's very nice. But you would be surprised, even how Brother Inslee's reacting already. You'd be surprised how strong you can feel it in your spirit. Who straight up done intercessory prayer before, like pushed through a burden till it was released? Esther? Mike, are you raising your hand? Have you done intercessory prayer before? So I want you guys to be open to that right now. We'll see what happens, okay? More and more the gift that is the fivefold ministry. Just been getting this revelation with my twin brother. More and more, it's just it's such a beautiful thing. I've said it many times, Matthew 10, 40, 41, Jesus was talking and he said, if you receive a prophet in a prophet's name, you're going to get a prophet's reward. If you receive me in my name, you're going to get me. What he was saying is, if you receive like the office, the fivefold ministry, if you receive the ministry that comes up here behind the platform in the dimension that they're operating in, you're going to receive the gift. God will let it operate in the service and let it operate to you. If we don't, we don't. If you just look at me as Mike Glover, that's all you're going to get. That's what he's saying right there. And so that fivefold ministry is so important for us. It's amazing how Jesus himself announced his ministry in his hometown in Luke 4. And they heard it. He said, it's done deal. And then they said, but that's Joseph's son. And that's when he said that prophets aren't without honor except in their own country. In other words, I'm honored. I'll be honored everywhere except my hometown, because they just see the guy that grew up here. And so he wasn't able to do anything ministry-wise there. In fact, in Luke 4, 32 roughly, the first person that believed on his ministry was a demon-possessed man. Because devils believe in one God and they tremble, James 2:19. And so they do have faith. And so he mixed his faith with who Jesus was and was cast out. So you'd think, like, after all that, all the, like, he moves on and miracles are following, signs and wonders. He comes back to his hometown in Matthew 13, Mark 6. And they're astonished. It says astonished both passages. They're astonished by what he's saying and the wisdom he has. They're like, how in the world did he get that? Because this is Joseph's boy. His brothers are, and they name him. Dun, 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 dun. Name his sisters. Dun, dun, dun. And then they're offended in him. It says in both passages, offended in him. And he marvels. He marvels at their unbelief. And he's not. It shuts him down. He's not able to do anything. So that's the principle I'm talking about with this fivefold ministry. Is if you see the man, you're not going to get anything. But if we can see, start, and even with each other especially, start seeing the gift or the anointing or the office that people that come behind this platform have, then that God will let that operate and we'll receive that gift. Jesus had all. He had all of God. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9. In John 3:34, I think it said, he had the Spirit without measure. So in John 14, when he's talking to them and he's telling them that greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. He's looking at these disciples and he's not saying what each one of you is going to do greater works than me. What he's looking at is the body of Christ. And he's saying, together, you guys are going to do greater works than me. And so no one after Jesus has ever been blessed with all five offices, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. God has designed it to where every pastor or shepherd, pastor, that's the only time in Ephesians 4 that pastors use, it's usually shepherd. But every shepherd is lacking something that he needs to bring people in to give to his people. That's how God's designed it. It's up to the shepherd to bring people in. And that's how the fivefold ministry works with evangelists. They come in, they have giftings of evangelism, like actual going out, door knocking, etc. And then they're high energy, and they're going for pushing faith, and they're pushing Holy Ghost, and they do it over and over and over and over and over again. And so they get that down to where they got it they got it. And so when they come into our church, they can flat out get things going. So that's one of the major gifts we have right there. It's funny, pastors, even Brother Yaden was laughing about the fact that someone will come in, say exactly what they just said, like a couple weeks ago, and they're like, oh, man, that's so awesome. You know, I've never heard that before. And Brother Yaden's like, yeah, you never heard that before. I just said it a couple weeks ago, you know. That's also the fivefold ministry. We receive, sometimes we receive from other people when we're not ready to receive from the pastor or didn't hear it, or we need that also. But it, in Ephesians 4, if you turn there, if you have your Bibles, in 11, we find that the this what I'm talking about here. Are you getting tired? You sit down. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. So this is what the fivefold is for. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. How many altar call seminars have there been at this church, I wonder, by evangelists? Four or five? That's designed so we pray people through to the Holy Ghost when they're gone. Like, we take what they taught us, and we whatever works for us, we add it to our toolbox. So then we can begin to pray people through like they're teaching us to pray people through. It's not so we just have a seminar and then we say, well, I hope Pastor Glover gets Josh Herring here so we can pray some people through to the Holy Ghost, or get, you know, the evangelists that are producing fruit in that area. They come here to teach us to do that ourselves. So every time someone's up here and they're preaching or even ministering in the altar, we can pick up stuff from them. If we look at it as that way, like every person that comes in now, what's he got that God's wanting to give to me? Besides the impartation of laying on the hands, what's he got to impart to me? Or what can I pick up by watching him? I was in a meeting one time with someone I really admire, and just that one meeting, a couple hours talking about prayer, it stayed with me and it continues to bless me. But mostly it blessed me because of how he acted, not necessarily what he said, but his demeanor and how he was, and the fruit of the Spirit that were very evident in his life that was very unevident in my life at the time. And so just being around somebody, picking up that is beneficial. So it's a gift. If we can start looking at it as a gift for us, we need it. We need each other. That's why we need backsliders to come in, because there's a missing gap in the body of Christ here that they left, that they're going to fill. So we need them to come in. We need to equip them very fast. Allow them to grow quickly. They're going to be the 11th hour workers. They get paid the same as us that worked all day, but hourly wage, they get paid way more. So that means they're going to be used way more powerfully than we have been. And that's a great thing. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, body of Christ, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then that basically that we grow up. My whole point, though, is beginning to see the gift behind the person, that's whoever is standing up here, Brother Levi, me, Jeff, whoever's up here besides Pastor Glover, and the gift that Pastor Glover is. Receiving that. Like, he's the second best teacher that I know. He teaches so incredible. And so just with his lessons on Thursday, we could be pretty well established in the Word of God. Pretty well established. Taking notes. Take notes when Levi teaches. When he's going through Scripture, I mean, that's very valuable. You're getting yourself a whole Bible study right there, which will lead you to more thoughts. But it gets to the point, like this morning, I had someone that is a prophetic voice in my life give me a text message out of nowhere. So we were texting back and forth, and I started to stir it up in him. So I started talking him up about what God was going to do through him today and how powerful a man of God he was. And I was stirring it up because I was hoping I would stir it up enough that he would get a word from God for me. And so we're texting back and forth, and he's like, I got to go, bro. And then he goes, wait a second. Next text is, wait a second. And I was like, yes. And sure enough, God gave him a word for me. But it's that recognition of like, I'm gonna see if I can get something from him by building him up, by respecting his office, and then God allows it to flow. If we don't recognize it, and if we don't respect it, God doesn't allow it to flow. So for me, I'm thinking of all these years that when I wasn't serving God and didn't necessarily care, I missed some great opportunities with some great people. So I want to soak up every single person that comes we can get something from. Like Brother Wicker the other night, that was the gift of faith he was imparting to people. Jesse Corneo doesn't have it quite yet. That's why Brother Wicker was doing it. And they worked together. And it was a very, like, I'm not sure how much Brother Cornejo knows him, but it was a very smooth deal. I mean, what a blessing. So when I don't minister here, when I'm ministering in other places, I have much more authority. I exercise much more authority. I'm very bossy. I didn't realize it. But they receive that, and so I'm able to minister in the dimension that God's blessed me with. And so we're able to go deep. And I don't ever raise, this is what I do. I talk like this. I take every bit of, hype's not a bad word when I'm using it right now. I take every bit of, like, emotion. I don't make you stand up and clap your hands, sit back down before you clap your hands again and sit back down. I don't do that. If you're gonna get something from God, it's going to be because you want it with me. And I come and it's available because I'm here. So just the fact that I'm standing behind this pulpit, my authority has opened a window that you can go deep if you want. That's just me. That's just what God's blessing. Definitely not me. But if you guys would allow me to work in that without feeling like I have to keep continually say it's definitely not me, we could get somewhere. I heard Billy Cole this morning. I was listening to him, and he said, you guys don't even let me be humble. I don't even get the chance to be humble with you because you guys are so quickly taking it on yourselves to make me humble or to keep me humble. I don't even get a chance to be humble. So he was saying humble isn't how you talk. He said you could be very, and it's true, you got the spirit of Jezebel up here, and you could be acting very like, I'm not worthy, and I just don't, and just be so full of pride and arrogance like a Pharisee. So it's not about what you say, it's how you feel. And you can't talk and you can't minister strong, you can't minister faith without being full of projecting faith. That's why Billy Cole talked so loud, why he yelled so much when he would do the Holy Ghost services, was because that's what he was doing, was projecting that. And so he couldn't have done it like so. Raise your hand. He had to be dominant and in charge and confident, flowing in the Holy Ghost with exercising authority and power. So that's the same with all you guys. You don't have to apologize. You don't have to constantly make these caveats that we're so good at doing. I know it's not me. We know it's not you. Okay, but we have to be confident, or it's not going to happen. So if you don't believe God's going to do it through you, then why even do it? But we got to allow ourselves to do that. We got to allow each other to do it. There's nothing wrong with complimenting each other. Nothing wrong with telling someone they've done a good job, or they're praying powerfully, or that was very awesome how you were worshiping, or you broke open a portal, Brother Abbott, when you stepped up here the other night. There's nothing wrong with building each other up. We aren't going to make each other, I don't believe we'll make each other have big egos, but we might make each other more powerful. That's a pretty good thing. We might build unity and love, brotherly love, preferring our brother before ourselves, even submitting one to another, learning to submit to each other's ministries, Some people are good at giving words, but they're not going to receive it from you. They're good at laying hands on you, but you can't lay hands on him or on me. Because I'm kind of like out of your league, so what do you think you're doing? That's not the way we are here. That's what's going to break through some serious strongholds. And we don't even have to be all jacked up to break through them. God will just do it. Unity and love. I think that's awesome. And so we can pull it out of our... I got a very surprising text message from our presbyter. I had given him a little bit of a report about White Horse, and he texted back revelation that I'd never even heard someone come close to about Pastor Glover. And he gave me deep revelation about the authority that God's given him, the apostolic authority that's flowing through him and that he's seen. And then he explained in depth how he received it, being native here in Alaska, being born and raised here, and kicking that lifestyle and by himself with God's help and going and living for God. And in all those years of Pastor Glover's silent, steadfast, going forward, has built extreme authority. And you know what? We can pull that out of him. Jesus, as far as I know, Jesus wasn't ready to begin his ministry, but his mom pulled it out of him. And and that's when he turned the water to wine. And then there was two examples where he wasn't there for the Gentiles. So he insulted that Syrophoenician woman and called her a dog. Can you imagine calling Sister Linda a dog? I picked the one I'm most scared of. Said it. Just joking. But we think about this culture of political correctness, and he called her a dog. And it didn't bother her, because she had an extreme need and she saw the answer. And so even though he was there for the Jews, he went ahead and let her pull him out of that dispensation, and he healed her daughter from that devil, had her delivered, plus the centurion. You remember the centurion with that understanding of authority, the military understanding of authority? You're saluting the rank, not the man. So he's under authority, I have authority. So I can just tell Thomas to go, and he's going to go. And so I know for a fact that you have authority in the Spirit. So, Rick, you just have to speak the word only, and my servant's going to be healed. And Jesus was like, wow. That was another person that took that out of him, sucked it out. We can do it with our pastor. We can pull out with our hunger. We can begin pulling more greatness out of Pastor Glover. There comes a limit to spiritual authority. Grows, as I said before, he has pastors under him, like Brother Farmer, that stretches his spiritual authority, makes it stronger as he exercises it. And he's making it stronger as he's exercising it in the church services. He's very well developed in, for sure, the gifts of utterance, for sure, more than anyone I've ever met or seen. And so he grows when he's operating in the spirit realm and praying and covering all of us, exercising it as covering when he prays over every one of us, and he prays ours. That's growing, but our hunger is what's going to continue to pull it out, or our need or our faith in our pastor that there's more in him. I know for a fact there is. Remember Moses, 70 people got his spirit. So God took his spirit from him and gave it to 70 people. And he still had plenty of spirit left. But look, 70 people started to prophesy right then. When that happened, 70 people began to prophesy immediately. So we can begin to pull that, and we can be able to grab a hold of it ourselves. And under the umbrella of that submission to him, you're growing in your own spiritual authority. Men, you're covering your homes. You're growing in that. And we're just growing as we pray and as we grow with God and stretch ourselves with our faith, exercising all those attributes. We begin to grow in our own spiritual authority, and we have access to whatever gifts Pastor Glover has going. That's why the gift of utterance is so easy here. But then you also, when you begin to recognize it, you're going to have the people that are under him, you have access to those gifts also. And in the safer environment is when you can grab a hold of them, activate them, or begin to even operate in them. But if we just see Pastor Glover as a nice old Indian, clinket, with a decent, you know, he preaches okay, he teaches okay, you know, we have okay services. That's all we're going to get. The Israel in the desert, they never stretched Moses past what he could do in the miraculous. Every one of those needs God gave him, told him what to do, and he did it. Strike the rock. Water comes out. Are you kidding me? I'm sure that was his first time. But it was Israel's need, and they're crying out to him constantly, that made that happen. We can do the exact same thing with hunger. Expectation. Any of you guys have ideas you've gotten from God for anything to do with this church? Like, there's nothing wrong with writing it down, giving it to him, suggestion. He might not do anything with it, but at least he's not by himself with ideas and him and God, because it doesn't work that way. You can't be real genius and really brainstorm very well just by yourself. How hungry are we? Are we hungry enough not to eat? Because if there's anything that will break down barriers, it's fasting and prayer. If there's anything that's going to break down, depending on how hungry we are, and I think even Tuesday might make us a little hungrier, depending on what the results are. I pray that we don't have to have it get too bad before the world will really start being open to God. But right now, you guys are trying hard, witnessing. We aren't getting a whole lot of people in. So I can imagine God might have to make it a little bit worse to make people a little bit more open and hungry. So Tuesday, with the election, feel pretty safe with the Senate, but the House. Well, I'm talking as a Republican. I apologize. That's legal now, by the way. We don't know about the House. Alaska's not really, there's nothing really to worry about with Alaska, but with the rest of the country, and it could happen. What are they running on? We're going to try to impeach Trump. And so that will create chaos. All they want is to do is have Trump fail. You know, Trump recognized Israel, right? So who do you think is God's number one dude right now? Doesn't matter how he talks. He flat out is behind Israel. So we might as well get used to him for now. Besides the fact that President Trump's showing us how to win spiritual warfare. You never back down. You never let anything go. And then you constantly bring up the victories. Celebrating victories, what happened, what people's growth, what happened in our services, let's celebrate it. That's how he's created a movement. I'm not afraid to tell you, I get tears in my eyes watching his speeches. He makes me feel like an American. I fought for this country, so I can pretty well feel like an American, right? That could shake this world up, just Tuesday. How much do we want it, though? Are we ready for people? Who here is ready to teach a home Bible study? That's what it's going to take to disciple. Time and people come in, making sure they're established. But it's just hunger. Time. How much time we spend doing anything. And then how much time we spend doing something that's godly. That'd probably be pretty rough for every single one of us if we did a weekly chart. I know in my situation, I prayed much more when I worked than right now, but that's just kind of how it goes. But time. That's where we show what's important to us. Like we should, I'm sorry and I apologize, I should have established like a group of like people that get together just to pray deep intercessory prayer. I should have asked Pastor Glover to establish that, and I probably will now. But we can be meeting together, we can be doing something. Just how hungry are we? As far as I can tell, Pastor Glover has enough authority to go quite a ways right now in the spirit. And he's growing, obviously, also. Religious traditions is a rough deal. Like altar calls, even. That's Billy Graham. That wasn't the Bible. But we do it. Pretty much everything we do in a service is tradition. There's nothing wrong with order. And there's nothing wrong with having a fluid service and having a great song service and having that go well. I'm not saying that's wrong, but you aren't going to find it in Acts, the book of Acts. So we can every once in a while just have a move of God too. And we can tarry too. Tarrying is where, my experience, all I do when I go to places really is get people riled up, say some real bold things and push them. And then it's pushing the altar call or the time that people are praying to go past what we're used to into the moment where God actually starts to move. Because that tarrying, God's not going to go on our schedule ever. Not one time will we ever get God fit, have him fit into this schedule we have. So that's what Brother Wagner said. He said, I just feel like we've gone back to the old days where we used to have hours of prayer at the altar. We're just getting back to, he's like, I don't know how we lost it, but we've gotten it back, and I don't want to ever get rid of it again. So it's not rocket science, obviously. It's just being hungry, and it's tarrying in his presence, not worrying so much about what we got to do next. For sure not worrying about what other people are doing. Just going with you and God is good enough for right now. It's another thing about ministry is they can only really take you is where they've gone before themselves in the spirit. That principle is Moses. That's why God took him to Mount Sinai and said, you're going to take him back here. And I'm going to meet you here out of Egypt. And that's that principle right there. And so when that's another thing when people come, like Brother Lamas, who prays hours and hours a day, however old he is. Incredible energy, incredible fire. He's a little hard to understand, but he's incredibly powerful. So when someone like that's here, like not being the ones that stop the service, allowing him to actually stop the service, allowing God to move long enough for us to really get something from whatever he has. Anyways, God's fixing to move here in a bit. There's deep waters available. Just trust me saying that. I've been very deep. So, you can go deep today. It's available. It doesn't have to be going for it. It doesn't have to be screaming, and it doesn't have to be really getting physically with it. Let's just let it go slow. That's what God wants to do for whatever reason. There's always a flow, right? So that's all. The only job ministry should have is to get in the flow. So I don't really even care what I say unless we get, as long as we get there at some point. You guys can always pray at any moment with me. You know, it really is as simple as, like, what's going to make you powerful is reading the Word and prayer. It's pretty much the Word and prayer It's like your 1-2 deal there with God. We don't, right now in this environment, we don't pray for anything. You're not asking for anything. You're just trying to get as close as you can to Him. It's about relationship. Forget about our needs. Forget about our issues. God said He already knows what we have need of. So we can trust that and just say, God, I'm going to seek You. I want to see Your face. Show me Your glory. I need a friend. I need a father. I need a hug. God's extremely concerned with every single one of us, every single issue we got. So you just give Him every single issue you got. You tell Him about the stuff that you would probably think is too silly to tell. You tell Him. Or you just do it with your mind as you're crying. And it's just that available as far as a intimate relationship with God. You want to get powerful? You want God to trust you? Do you want to get better? Do you want to be well, be whole? It all comes with relationship. You'll never know who you are until you begin to know who He is. You can read this all you want, and it will never click. Sonship's a process we walk through. Lots of discipline. But moments like this, it's the Father. And if you need me to rah-rah you, came to the wrong place, you can just go home if you want. That's Old Testament stuff. I can jump, bounce around, bounce off walls, and be in the Old Testament. This is a move of the Spirit. Go ahead and connect, Cliff. I listen to a lot of preaching and teaching, and that's where I've gotten a very valuable education. But it seems like lately, no matter what's talked about, so preaching about angels and telling real stories that have happened or what have you, it always turns to healing, physical healing. I just wonder why we don't. You know what I would love Holly to feel? What the angels feel that makes them just cry, holy, holy, holy. I wish He would visit us with the spirit of His, the beautiful holiness of His majesty, of His presence, just, that it would just settle down. Because I can be an overcomer, and I can, with God's help and your help, make heaven my home with all of my issues still. I'm not too worried about even not being able to use my left hand at all. If I can feel that, if I can get into this dimension, guess what? I can actually help other people get victory. When's the last time you helped somebody else get victory or deliverance or healing? Not physical. You won't get it until you feel it yourself, usually. Experience yourself. That's why Holly will be used in it where she's in the North Pole. In the North Pole. But she'll be used powerfully with those that kind of a deal because she's experienced it. And so now God wants her to do it and has empowered her to do it with other people. But it starts off with this, just open, being open. What a weird way to break through, but this is how it's going to happen if we want it right here. So you can move up if you need to. And if you have to leave, go ahead. I'm going to put the offering plate out. I'll tell you what, if this begins to gain momentum, I can't imagine what's going to happen. It's about the slowest, steadiest beginning of God's Spirit moving that I've felt in a long time. It's like those rivers that look like they're moving slow and then you get caught in them and they're just sweeping you down. I'd really like to see some people get some spiritual strength. There's a good chance we're getting this kind of a atmosphere because we're going to need it. If the worst happens, are we going to be strong enough? Is this why God's meeting us like this right now? Jesus, I didn't sleep at all last night. That usually is my newest version of playing games with the devil. And so I usually know that, thanks, dude. I know God's going to do something by himself today. I do know there's storms that have been prophesied coming our way. Peace, be still. It's peace that's going to keep our hearts and minds. It's peace. Every single person in here could tap in if they wanted to. Very least, you could pray in the Holy Ghost. You can, Amy, you can cry real. I bet you can cry way more and still take care of her. I bet you can still cry way more than that and still take care of her, like see her. Come on, AJ, dig in. Your ministry is going to require a little nectar from all the different other ministries. Can't make it happen, Thomas. You got to let it happen. You're not going to get there wired up, man. Relax. Talk about being able to hear God's voice. There's clarity in the spirit. Rebecca, are you hearing God's voice? Sometimes we just need to let God. Pursuing peace. It's the peace of God that's kept me and Megan and where we're at. It's the peace of God. We haven't had, it hasn't made sense. It's been a long road, but we've had constantly the peace of God. It's the peace of God that tells you you're in the right, you're in my will. No matter what it looks like, it's going to be the peace of God that keeps you. And he'll talk to us with peace. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Is it hard for you guys to stay in tune right now? This level is not as readily apparent. Got to stay sensitive. In returning in rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Cultivate your sensitivity to this. Generally, this builds up and gets powerful. It's a learning curve with this. Thomas is wanting to push through initially. It's a learning curve. You got to slow down. I want to talk about being able to pray for hours, though, in this dimension here by yourself. You could pray. You could be doing this and also looking at the Bible. I learned how to pray and driving in the car mostly. By myself. I guess you'd call this practicing the presence of God. Much as possible, just pray in tongues. You don't have to be intense about it. I don't pray in tongues near enough during the day, but the people that do, just like this, and even quieter, they have much more strength and energy. It gives them strength and energy. There's old-timers that would travel all across the world and pray in the Holy Ghost and never have jet lag, never have any kind of problems with that just because of praying in the Holy Ghost. You can think about other things. 1 Corinthians 12 is pretty clear on that. It's not a bad thing, but it strengthens your spirit. And science has proven, it's proven. You can actually look at the CAT scan or the MRIs, whatever it was hooked up to Andrew Newberg, that when people pray in the Holy Ghost, they do not use their language center because it's not them praying. So then it rests your mind also. Holly, do you got a song? Would music help you guys? Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Learning to get in the flow. Getting quiet enough in your spirit. Draining enough of your junk out of your spirit so you can actually get to that point. So it's gonna teach you how to move in the Holy Ghost. So that's what I do. I always start by whatever emotions, anger, whatever I have, I usually would just like drain it out initially with usually frustration, like tears or whatever, until it was drained. And then it would be like me and him started to flow. But that was what I did initially always. So most of the time you don't even know what is bothering you or why you're feeling it, or you can't even explain it. And so it's going to be praying in the Holy Ghost, or it's going to be tears or some way of draining that stuff out. And you're gonna know when it's empty. And then that's when God can start to flow with you in whatever direction he's wanting to go with you in this prayer. Maybe he just wants to stay with you and him and you in relationship, or maybe he wants to move you into intercessory prayer. But you're able to sense that, and you're able to go with the flow. Not push it too fast or not go too slow or stop. And you can just go. That's how those people that pray for hours, that's how they can get to that point, is it's that wave after wave, and they're just in that flow. And I always pray until the burden lifts or the spirit of prayer lifts. That's however long that is usually. I don't really care about time. So sometimes it's short. Most of the time it was roughly like an hour. And there were times I'd tell God I have to be done at like this point. And he would do it, like, at that point, it would lift. God's awesome. So once I'm done with that, once that lifts for me, then I'm quiet, then I'm seeing if he's going to speak to me. And I have the Bible. And sometimes when he would speak to me, especially initially, I would ask him to confirm it with the word. Confirm that it's you by giving me a word. And eventually he said he wasn't going to do it anymore. It's time for me to grow up, grow out of that. But ministry, ever getting into that flow of the Spirit, it's where every gift of the Spirit, it's where the power of God, it's where all of that rests, is being able to get into the flow. So you can imagine a church that's able to get sensitive to the flow and start flowing. It's something you learn. It's practiced. I picked up on it as soon as I got in here. Just because it's slow, just because it's quiet, doesn't mean it's not incredibly powerful. And usually it's just for you. Like, we don't need to pray for each other necessarily as much as we're just... I mean, if you need a word, you can get it right now. If you need him to give you a confirmation, like, it's okay. You can get it right now. He is so incredibly personal. There's times he's much more real to me than reality is. I really was a horrible person, really. It's only been God that's really got me to even this point. It's only been that relationship that's got me healed from things and all the other issues that I know every person has. Every one of us has baggage. God will take care of that over time with you in a personal relationship. But he's not our little put money in the machine and get our deliverance out type of God. Put money in the machine, get your... I put my time in, so that means I guarantee getting healing, and I better be getting financially blessed. It's not the kind of God we got. The kind of God we got is the one that will keep you in the Hebrews 11 in the 30s section, where you're getting sawed in half, and you're keeping the faith. Getting stoned, slain with the sword, wandering about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. It says, of whom the world wasn't worthy. That's the point you get to right there. Because it really comes down to it. It's always about heaven, making heaven our home. It's always about this. So we got to get to the point where it does not matter if God blesses us again. It doesn't matter if God heals us ever. It doesn't matter if we live poor until God comes. It's not going to affect my relationship with God. It doesn't matter if you pray for people for healing and you never get it. It's not going to affect your relationship with God. I just want him. It's what the moment I live for is the first time I get to see him. I'm never going to leave his feet. I never will. I don't see how I could, Thomas. That's what my beautiful wife and my beautiful three kids, all because of him. Nothing to do with me.